It's good to be back with you all again. Did you all have a nice Easter? Great. That's wonderful.
How was yours?
It was pretty darn good, you know? Better than expected. And I love it when it happens that way, you know? Yeah. Well, I was looking for a cute little funny story. And, you know, I could look and look all day. Couple, three, 4 days for funny stories. I can find tons of them. I just can't tell them in church. But I found this one, and I thought you might enjoy this. It's an elderly woman walked into the local county church, small town, you know. The friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit?" the usher said. "The front row, please." "You really don't want to do that," the usher said. "Pastor's kind of boring." She said to him, "Do you happen to know who I am?" "No, I don't." "I'm the pastor's mother," she said indignantly. He said, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "No." He said, "Good." Happens to the best of us, you know. The title of my talk today is Freedom. You know, sometimes Spirit gives me these titles, and I try to run from them to find something more exciting, more interesting, and more whatever, and the Spirit keeps bringing me back to the original thought. You know, anybody ever had that feeling? That I call it a little stubbornness. I'm in church, I tell the truth. Anyway, freedom is the word for today. And that got me thinking all sorts of things, and I thought, yeah, I guess I could make a talk out of that. Okay, because I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. So what am I stressing over? Bad habit of mine. Because I know Spirit is going to flow in and through me and out to you. And I'm going to say what you need to hear in the way that you need to hear it. I don't have to tell Spirit what to do. Can you imagine the arrogance in that? No, I just let it flow. But I did choose a scripture from the Daily Word. Oh, from I think a year or two ago. And it comes from Galatians. It says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And we do it all the time. You know, I call it the rubber band effect. We come to church and we get our consciousness stretched. And we hear this good stuff and we say, yeah, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do that. And then we go out, and by before the end of the day sometimes, we're right back to where we started with the old stinking thinking. I call it stinking thinking. Call it what you want. That's my favorite term for it. It stinks because it's not feeding you. So I went over to Corinthians, and I found what I like there about freedom. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So where is the Spirit of the Lord? Everywhere. When you're going down that dark street and you don't know what part of town you're in, and you just, Spirit is there. There's no sense to be afraid. As a matter of fact, my habit is, and it's a good habit, whenever I get into a situation I don't know where I'm going, like this morning, I got turned around and ended up way south of here. I just said, "God, send the angels to get me back right." I thought, I know where I'm going. What? Why am I discombobulated? And I got a brand new cell phone. Well, it's not brand new, but it's relatively new. And I said, "Well, let me call Michael, let him know I am on my way." Guess what? I hadn't put his number in my new phone. And I said, "Okay, Father, I'm up this morning to go do your work your way. Guide me to where I'm supposed to go. And don't let me be too late." And sure enough, I looked up and I saw the unity sign. And I thought, now why did I see that before? Because I caught myself being very careful and watching. But you see, even as good as we think we are, we always have more to learn, more to do. So we have to stay open to God's influx. Nobody knows it all. You know, in unity, in a lot of the churches, because I've been to a lot of the churches speaking around the country, we sang this song, and I'm sure you've sung it here a time. I think I heard it some time back. "I'm free, I am unlimited." Yes. You know, "I'm free, I am unlimited. There are no chains that bind me. I am free, I am unlimited right now, right now." And I said, yeah, right. Are we really practicing that? Because our words speak our existence. We speak it into existence. So I said, well, you know, we have to faith it until we make it. And I said, F-A-I-T-H, faith it, not fake it. God doesn't want us to be fake people. There's enough fakeness going on in the world right now, don't you think? Yeah. The word fake is getting a lot of play. We have to faith it, be who we authentically truly are. So we are free and unlimited, but we get so caught up in what the world says and what the world wants us to do and see and think that we forget. We are free expressions of Almighty God. God indwells us. So we can look at all the, what I call the nutty stuff that's going on in the world right now, and it's nothing but God shifting us to a higher consciousness. And we have to see all this stuff so that we can say, that's not mine. I will follow God. As the scripture says, that's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a good one to hang on to right now, because there's so many people trying to shake us off our footing to get us out of divine alignment to think the way they think, even though they told us that six other ways that was different. And I thought, okay. You see, from what I understand from my teachers is that the negativity in the world has had a stronghold on us for so long that it doesn't want to let go. But you know, just as you come into a dark room with has no windows, and it's dark, you can't see anything, you can't see, you can't feel. It's like going into a theater. You know, my eyes have to adjust when I go into a darkened theater. But as soon as you turn on the light, you know where you are, you know where you're going. You see, we're supposed to turn on the light within us, up our spiritual wattage, so that we're beaming like those big lights they use on the freeway when they're working at night. Those things are blinders. But that's the way the Spirit of God in us is supposed to be. So we're free to shine our light onto whatever circumstance that needs light. And God, sometimes God will put some of the craziest people on our path, and you'll stand back and say, who are they? What is that all about? And Father, what am I supposed to do with this? What is my part here? We never say why. We never say why. We say, what is mine to do? What am I to give? What am I to receive? Or what am I to just be the space for? And if you pay attention, God will tell you. God will tell you. So we truly are free, and we are unlimited, even though the world wants us to think that we are. We are, because that's the lie they've told us for 2,000-3,000 years, Chuck, at least. Listen to them. They know. They know what's right. How could you know? You're just a little human. And then that's where you have to pull yourself up and say, I am an individualized expression of God. I am not supposed to think like you, be like you, act like you, do like you, because I am God's love in full expression. I am alive, living, breathing, and thinking and teaching because God's got to say something to say through me. What is it? I don't know. I just stand up and let it flow. You know why I don't know? Because it's not mine to know. It's mine to live, to be, to do. It's just that simple. But do we do it? No, we'd rather go back and put those handcuffs of the world back on, you know, or get that. You know the story of the elephant? I heard this story many, many, many years ago at my old church. And the minister was saying that, I think it was in India, and they had put, the trainer had put a chain around the ankle, the elephant's ankle. And the only place the elephant can go was around in a circle, because that chain was anchored to the bottom of this pole. He couldn't go anyplace else. So he lived that way for the longest, probably years. And one day they decided to unhook the chain. And the elephant continued to go in the circle that it was accustomed to going. Why is that? Because he was trained. His mind was trained to believe that he was limited. He was not free and unlimited. He was jailed and unlimited. And that's where our consciousness does. I used to be a newsaholic, like you wouldn't know. I still watch it, but not the way I did before, because I can take just so much. But I noticed that when I decided, God, I know you are shifting and changing our world. In order to do that, you have to shift and change us. And some of us are coming at this very slowly, very stubbornly. Well, I've always done it this way, and that's the way it's going to be done. Well, my mother did this way, and at your age is 80 what? And you haven't thought about changing? At least taking a look at it. I have a friend, she's 80 today, as a matter of fact. And she'll come to visit me, and she'll see, I always have my stuff laying all over. And she'll pick up something, and she says, "What is that?" And I said, "Oh, that's a story I'm going to use in church." And she'll read it, and then she'll see the rest of my notes, and she'll say, what is all of this about? Help me understand. And I will explain a universal principle to her, a spiritual principle. She says, "I don't believe that." And I said, "That's your choice, and I respect it." She says, "Well, this is what you teach me?" "Yeah." I said, "It's called universal principles. It's called God's word." "But my Bible says yada, yada, yada." And I said, "You know what? That was one of my stumbling points when I first came into Unity about 30 years ago. I wanted to know why all these churches are saying things this way, that way, that way, and that way. And yet you come here and you say, if it's not the King James Version, it's not right." And I said, "Do you know the story of King James?" And so I enlightened her. And I'm not going to take time to tell it to you. But he wanted that book to read the way he wanted it to read. So he changed things. Took stuff out. Added stuff in. He says, "Now I like that." And there are some spiritual paths that truly, truly believe that that is God's word. I give thanks that I was raised in a spiritual path that said the Bible is the inspired word of God. And when I got to Unity, I heard that again, and I said, "Oh, I think I can stay at this church. It's the inspired word of God." And then I think I may have shared with you before, when I was out in Houston during the week, I went on a trip. My girlfriend took me to see Joel Osteen's church, and I wanted to go to the bookstore. Oh, man, is that a mind blower. It's a phenomenal bookstore. But in his bookstore, he has a wall. Now, that was about 6 years ago when I was out there. And it was at least as long as this wall. A little taller. Bibles. Different interpretations of the Bible. And I said, "Wow, how many do you have?" And the lady at the store, she says, "I don't really know." And I said, "Look at that. All those different interpretations of the Bible all the way down. They even got Bibles for babies, Bible for children, Bibles for widows, Bibles for the divorce, you name it. They got a Bible for it." And I said, "Wow." And I know that that's food that will feed somebody the way some of the stuff will not, because we are those individualized expressions. And so I always tell people, I said, "You know, how do they know which one is right?" For a little child, I always said, "How do we know which Bible is right? How do we know which person's spiritual path is right? How do we know that?" "Well, because my mother," who taught your mother? And who taught your grandmother? And trace it all the way back. Who taught them? We are living until we come into enlightenment, I'll say. We are living the lives that the way we heard it. And there's a scripture somewhere in the Bible that says the sins of the fathers visited upon the children. You know, that we are to take everything, not at face value, we are to take anything we read, see, touch, or do, we take it within. We take it within and we say, "God, is this my truth? Is this the truth that's right for me?" And just listen. God will always guide us right, because God can't give us anything but good, because that's who God is. Every last one of us, no matter how interesting or challenging we may be, or our jobs in the world, still a child of God. I learned early on at Jack Boland's knees that everybody has a divine purpose and a reason and a meaning for living. Well, I set up when he said that because I wanted to know. I was thinking about some characters in my life that were causing me all sorts of problems. And I had to listen. And he said, "Even the person that treats you the worst is there for a divine reason and a divine purpose." And I said, oh, Jack. And I waited for him after service. I said, Jack, I know you said that, but I want to know what. I said, what do you mean? I said, you can't understand what this particular individual did to my life, wanted to take my life. And I thought, help me understand that. And he said, there's a reason and a purpose for everything, Carol, even that situation that you were in. You didn't cause it. You happened to be there. Maybe you were there to show him something, to teach him something. I thought about that for a while. So when I came back the next Sunday, I said, you know what? I've been thinking about that all week, trying to help myself understand, get the full meaning of it, because my job is to make myself better so I can be a better example to my children and to my community and at this church. And I said, help me understand. And I said, you know, because I'm feeling kind of empty in that regard right now, because I'm trying to justify that situation that happened that was looking for my death, but yet I'm still alive. And he said, Carol, you're here because God's got a plan for your life, and that's all you need to know. And then that following October, we used to do these once a year commitment series. Yeah, and what was on the front of the bulletin for that particular week was, God has a plan for your life, and that's all you need to know. And I said, Jack, I think he's talking to me. And he said, oh, in everything. But you see, if we would tune in more, me included, because I'm here just like you're here. I have not learned so much that I can't learn more. I am not perfect. I'm an imperfect being, but I know that I am a child of God. I'm a divine child of God, just like you and you and you and you. I know that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. Man, does it get human sometimes? In physical form. But I know at the end of the day, or at the end of the situation or the moment, I could always depend on God. And that frees me. That frees me from stinking thinking. That frees me from fear. That frees me from anxiety. Because God can only give us good. God would never, ever give us anything that would hurt or harm us. Everything is for our good. And we hear those little catchphrases, and we don't really take it within to see, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What is the message in this? Because everything that comes up, even a little bug that may crawl across your foot when you're outside in the grass, there's a reason for him doing that. Is that to make you aware that he's not going to hurt you? I have a girlfriend who lives in a very country setting, and she posted a picture of a big brown spider. And I said, I used to live in a neighborhood and we call those wolf spiders. I don't know what the proper name is, but that was a big puppy. And everybody that responded to her said, oh my gosh, that's awful. Look at it, it's terrible, terrible, scary. She says, he doesn't scare me. And I thought, I can learn something there. Because spiders scare me. Some of them do. Some of them don't. I just don't want to be around them. I'll just take them and put them in the dustpan and take them outside and say, you find your greater good out here because you're not welcome in my house. But I don't kill it unless I really have to. So my quest today, my intention is to encourage you to go deeper into God. Deeper, deeper, deeper into God for the answers that you seek. My father used to have a bad habit, and it was his habit, it was his practice, it was his life to say, oh, you children have intelligence. Don't take all that little piddly stuff to God, because God's got bigger problems to solve. He's got more people that need his help than you can ever imagine. So use that intelligence your father gave you and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and resolve it. You see, that was his thinking. What I learned later is that what God was telling him was not what God was telling me, because we are those individualized expressions, and every last one of us has a different way of hearing, learning, seeing, and doing and being. And I think about that, and that's why we have to stop the noise, go sit down, go within, and ask God, what is it that is mine to do? Every morning I say, after I give gratitudes for the day, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? And I said, I'm here. I'm willing to do it. I know I'm not just breathing air just for the fun of it. My intention for my life is to get rid of stinking thinking in my consciousness. I don't know if that's entirely possible, but I'm an optimist. And I think with God, all things are possible. That's one of my favorite scriptures. With God, all things are possible, even the seemingly impossible. It's just our stinking thinking that causes it to seem like, I'm not going to do it there. Because we're free and we are unlimited. And we cannot fully express our freedom as a divine beloved child of God, heir to God's kingdom, if we're being afraid. Because God and fear will never, not that they can never, will never, ever, ever occupy the same space. So if you're going to stand here at the altar of God, you come to God totally empty. Just be empty and let God fill you up. But if you get some fear in there, that'll move you way over there to the altar of fear. False evidence appearing is real. Where nothing comes from fear that is for your highest good. Nothing comes from fear that will help you in your life. Nothing comes from fear that is good. But there's our Father back at his altar. And we drag ourselves back. Sometimes we're crawling back. I remember the days when I was like crawling back. I was on my belly. I said, I'm out of here because this is not working well for me. And I get back over there and God says, yeah, I tried to tell you before you did that, but you had to go find out for yourself. And I said, and then you feel guilty. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. I made the wrong decision. I made the wrong turns. And God knew it before you did it. God knew it before you did it. God knew that that was going to happen. Remember when I first came out here, I think my arm was still in the sling from when I broke it and had surgery on it. You know, I had an experience through that healing. And I had a spark of a memory that I couldn't do something. And it came to me in my meditation, wait a minute. God, you knew way back when, before I was born, that this was going to happen to me and that I was going to have a big lesson from this happenstance. Oh, man, that kind of twisted my head around a bit. I thought, wow, tell me more, tell me more. Fill me with thy presence, God, till I'm all of thee and less of me, till I'm all of thee and none of me. Excuse me, that's my quest. God is good. We say that. We say that just like wrote, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, you hear people say. And I'll say to them, do you believe it? Do you trust it? And they get this look on their face when you can see the wheels in their mind turning. Well, I want to. And I said, that's honest. That's honest. The desire to be better, to do better, it should be in all of us because you know what? We're still here breathing air. None of us have reached the level of spiritual growth and development where there's nothing left to learn. None of us can stand in judgment of another because you know what you're doing? You're just setting yourself up for some karmic lessons. If I point to you and I say, I see what she's doing. She's doing yada, yada, yada. Oh, stop it. But you see, one is coming at her. One, two, three are coming back to me. Now, what's the lesson in me seeing that in her? It's a bigger lesson coming back to me than going to her. She is just the example that God put in front of me at the moment or at the time or whenever to show me something I want to know, to help me understand how to be my biggest, my highest and greatest, biggest and best. I love the way Neil Donald Walsh says it. We are here to learn to be our highest and greatest and grandest selves. And that should not be too human thinking, lofty, for any of us, because that's what we're all here for, to be the highest and greatest and grandest selves so that we can be the example for others to follow. We're not just here to suck up the air and exist. You know, I had a daughter of a friend who had great, great, great plans for her life. And she was raised in a spiritual path that I could see that it was not my fit. But she was a good girl, and she wanted to get married, and she felt that if she lost a bunch of weight, she could draw forth the right and perfect husband for her. And she did that, and she changed so much about her physicalness and added stuff and lifted stuff and tightened stuff and got married. Gorgeous bride, gorgeous bride. Then she called me one day. We called each other chopped liver. Because I was at her mom's house, and she came in. She spoke to everybody in the room, and she didn't even glance my way. And I said, hey, what's up with this? What am I, chopped liver? And so we just started calling each other chopped liver. Well, chopped liver called me. She says, oh, I'm loving this married life. I'm so happy, and we get to do things together. She says, wow, I wish I had done it sooner. I said, well, you're only 24, honey. You got a long way to go in this marriage. But she was just so thrilled. And they were of like mind, spiritually speaking. And I thought, I'm so happy for her. Because her mother said, oh, she's not very pretty, but she's got a pretty personality. So her sister's gorgeous, tall and slender. And she's short, shorter than I am. And she had a little thickness about her. And she says, I'm not sure she'll ever get a husband, but, you know, if the Lord wants her to, she will. She didn't let any of that bother her. She came over to my house one day, and she said, chopped liver, show me how you cook that asparagus. I really like how you do that asparagus. And I said, sure. And she said, you know, I want to get married. I want God to give me the right and perfect person. So fast forward a few years, about 8-10 years, she got the right and perfect person. And I was so thrilled for her. So about a month ago, she said, hey, chopped liver. She says, I don't have time to come visit you, but I just want you to know that we're going to get a house. And she was pregnant, and she was excited and happy. And I said, good for you. Can you imagine my shock when her mother called me about a month later and said, your chopped liver is in the hospital. Pray for her. So what's wrong? She got some kind of infection. We don't really know what it is. I said, okay. And I immediately began praying right then and there with her mom on the phone. A week later, her mother called me, and she said, chopped liver's dead. What do you mean she's dead? And well, they gave her a particular antibiotic that was too strong for her system. So the mother's all irate, and I said, you know, I know you can't hear this right now, but she is free from all worldly things right now. I said, you know, God does not make mistakes. Everything that happens for a reason and a purpose. Why did chopped liver die of that shot? I said, I don't know. And it took me back to my childhood when I was 8. My mother went to the hospital for some tests for her asthma. She had an asthmatic heart. She had a weak heart, and she had asthma. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. She said, well, I'll be home in 2 days. And my brother and I lost track of time. We lived in the country, and we lived in a very hilly part, and we had our little favorite part. It was a ledge that looked out over the highway. We could see way down the highway that way, way down the highway that way, and it was a good distance, about half a mile from the house. And we were laying there just dreaming. He was dreaming about what he was going to be when he grew up. He was 10, I was 8, and I was dreaming what I was going to be. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, shoot, Carol, we're in trouble. I said, what? He said, that's Dad's car coming up the road. So we jumped up, and we scattered back to the house, and we get there. We could hardly breathe because we're scared, because our father was, he could met out punishment quite severely when he wanted to. And so we were trying to calm ourselves down so we could stop breathing. And he comes in the house. We saw him come across the parking lot, and we thought he was angry with us. And he comes in the house. He says, come on in here and sit down. And we said, oh, goodness, we know we're going to get it now. And we sat down, and he said, your mother died today. What did you say? Your mother died today. She was having an asthma attack at the hospital. She went there for a test for the asthma, and the shot they gave her was too strong for her heart, and it caused a heart attack, and she's gone. Now, I know how it feels to get that kind of sudden news like that. And it took me to the years later, 40, 50 years later, when I got deep into unity, where I could understand. My grandmother said that God has a plan for all of us, and it was just her time to go. Okay, and that soothed me through my growing up years. pretty much not totally. And I thought, what is this about? But then when I understood that her livingness was a reason, happened for a reason, and she died when she was supposed to. And we're supposed to be in the great understanding to understand that God has a reason and a purpose for everyone and everything. Just like my chopped liver got a shot. So when I've heard the news of her, it took me right back to a little 8-year-old girl being told that your mother's dead. And I wonder, what's that all about? But where I am in my faith walk now, I have understanding. I have understanding. Because if you step out of situations like that, when people suddenly leave us, make transition on out of this world, step out of it and pay attention. Something comes out of it that is pretty good, pretty grand. That's the freedom. There's freedom in our faith. Takes me a minute for that. If we can just stay on our divine path in God's word, in God's freedom, okay, we will soar like the eagles. Like the song says, he'll raise you up on eagle's wings. I don't know the rest of the words, but every time I hear this song, it gives me what I call God bumps, because the truth in that song is so profound. Sometimes we say things and do things, we don't really know what we're saying, but we have to remember our thoughts are prayers. And I don't know if I heard that song here, did I? Okay. Our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers. Take charge of what you're thinking. Seek a higher consciousness, a place of peacefulness, and know that God is always there, and every thought becomes a prayer. Now, Spirit is just telling me, keep that song in mind as you watch the news. Regardless of who you're pulling for or against, keep that thought in mind. Because some of the thoughts that we are conveying these days, they're not thoughts of free and unlimited. They're thoughts of upset, of anger. And where does that come from? Fear. Fear. False evidence appearing is real. If we are truly going to be God's divine beloved children, walk in this path that God is putting before us to take us to a higher consciousness, to the fifth dimension consciousness, get out of this third dimension consciousness where we're bickering and fighting and backbiting each other. We can't get there until we shake off the dust and know that God is always there, and every thought becomes a prayer. It's just that easy to say. It takes diligence to do. It takes a consciousness. Remember, for freedom, Christ has set us free. He tells us to stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Know who you are. And that's not to go out and stretch yourself in the world in an arrogant manner. No, just know who you are. Love who you are. Well, you don't look the way you think you should. Well, go talk to God about it. God made you that way. God, everybody's beautiful to God. Nobody's too ugly, too fat, too thin, too short, too tall, too whatever. That's the stinking thinking of the world trying to make you feel less than so that they can sell you some products. That's all that is. It's just a game. It's just a game. Rise above it. Rise above. We all succumb to some of that. But don't let it get you down in the muck and mire and the quicksand and take you on out of here, believing in false evidence appearing as real. Know that there's nothing, and I repeat again, there is nothing you could ever think, say, or do that is already not already in the mind of God that you're going to think, say, or do it. There's nothing you can think, say, or do that is beyond the forgiveness of God, that is beyond your forgiveness. So forgive yourself quickly and frequently, because you and me and everybody else will invariably think or say something not quite in divine alignment. And we know it. We know it. And the fact that you know it is your signal to let it go and let God handle it. I have an affirmation that if it's comfortable for you, because I want you to get away from allowing all these outside influences to tell you who you are and what you are and how you should look and how you should be, okay? And I spend just as much money on makeup as any other woman and on extra hair when I need it. There's no shame in my game. No shame in my game. This is helping me restore my hair after medication took it out. No shame. No shame at all. I'm grateful to be alive for the experience. And if somebody doesn't like it, that's their judgment. And what's coming back at them? Three fingers. Karma, karma, karma. Only one coming to me. And I stand with the full armor of God around me, protecting me from that kind of foolishness, that silly thinking. But this is the affirmation. Now I have to tell you at the outset, when I learned this at my church, my son had gone to the military. I was divorced. My son had gone to the military. I'm home by myself. So I went home from church that day, and I locked my front door, and I put the chain on. I went back to my bedroom, shut the door, locked the door. I went into my bathroom, locked the door, pulled the blinds down in my bathroom, and I stood there, flipped the light on, stood there in front of my mirror, and I did what my minister said do. He said, look into your own eyes and say, you are beautiful. And I said, okay. And you see how insecure I was about it? I had to do all that lock up, all that closing and shutting out so I could say that. And I tried, I couldn't say it to myself. All I could do was stand there and just cry. And I thought, wow, I never realized that that was such a tender spot in me. So I did it, and I did it, and I did it. And it took me weeks before I could stand there and say, you're beautiful. Now, when I look in the mirror now, as soon as I get out of bed, I'll say, hey, good looking. You're looking kind of wretched this morning, but you're still beautiful. And I get a laugh, because who looks great when they get out of bed? Come on, let's be real. Oh, Chuck does, sure. But this is what I want you to do. I want to pass it on. Because when you learn things, it's not for you to keep. You're to share. So I want you to stay with me, if it's comfortable for you. I am beautiful. I am God's beloved.
I am God's beloved.
God is pleased.
God is pleased.
And so am I.
And, so am I.
And that's the way it really is.
It really is.
See, okay.
That's the way it really is.
Okay. Now, it takes a while to get there. Some of us, and well, we know Chuck is already there, but Chuck has had 40 years of ministry too, right? At least. But anyway, I want you to get on board, because we are the people we've been waiting for to take us to this higher consciousness. It's not one Savior like Jesus the Christ. It's us. We are alive because God needs to ideate through us out to the world. God needs to touch a soul through what we say. God needs to warm a heart through the love that's coming through our eyes or in our touch and our hug. Be open, willing, and receptive to be beautiful for God. There's nothing arrogant in that at all. Contained in that self-empowerment is freedom, the true freedom of God. There's no arrogance and all that scuttlebutty stuff. I read this somewhere and I thought, well, let me bring this down, bring this to you. The old shadow construct was built upon illusion. And in our world today, it is now collapsing. The parts of ourselves that have unknowingly held us captive are, thank God, collapsing. We have begun to love ourselves and are loving ourselves into divine right greatness within us that has been asleep. It's waking up. So is the line from that Teddy Pendergrass song, wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. It's time. Now is the time. This is the day that our God has made. May you use it wisely. You don't have to do anything spectacular. You just say, what do you want me to do today, God? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to touch? Who do you want me to hug? What do you want me to say? And just let it flow. Try it. You'll like it. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I behold the Christ in you all. God bless. And thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.